Randy.
Desmond.
Kurishto for both of you.
Kurishto.
Kurishto.
We're still a little early, so we'll wait.
Hana.
Kodesh Tov.
Kodesh Tov.
We'll be starting momentarily.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and mute.
Kodesh Tov.
Thank you.
Please join us in saying the Anna Bakar. Anna Bakar.
Hello? Hanok, we don't hear you anymore. Hello?
Hello? Hello? Are you still there?
Hello?
Hi, are you still there?
I got off and I sent him an email that we got disconnected. And then I got back on. So I don't think he knows that it disconnected whenever he muted, I think. Someone was
probably
in with him out loud, and I think that maybe somebody new that doesn't know that we usually mute.
Oh, we'll wait for him.
Yeah. He may be teaching away.
Kaddish Tov.
Yes.
Kaddish Tov.
How are you guys?
Doing okay.
Good. Thank you, Hannah. I don't know if you received my response, but I did receive your email, and that was a wonderful read, and I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. I just never associated, you know, saying, oh, you know, things are, America's not what it used to be, and things like that.
Right.
Never get to Larshanara, but
yeah.
And then you
hear people, and then you hear, then you like realize it more, how every little thing, how it's almost, you know, you have to be careful. You see, hear people
right.
speak. Yeah.
Oh, it came, you know.
Different, I say.
Chod saduni katsipon. This verse has five words. When we take the first letters of these five words, we're able to permute them into Tzatzki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of the words, we're able to permute them into Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to the year of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Kim ba Adonai hewa heyo Elohechem katadibahu asher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776 is the year of the pause. There are also two verses that connect to this, to this energy. The first that we will study is 2 Chronicles chapter 22:34. Raka kohanim ayulimat velo yachlu lehashit et kol haolot. Vayahaskum Ahehem Alevim Adkelotam Lacha Biadit Kachu Hakohanim Ki Alevim Yishrelevav Lehit Kadesh Me Hakohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letters of these 25 words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yola Yo Wala Me Hey 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 Aka A Reka Ha. And the second verse that connects to the year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu ba Adonai Ewaheyo Adead kibia yohe Adonai Ewaheyo Tzur olami. The year 5775, with the energy of swallowing death forever, the There are three verses that connect to this energy, and the first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad biluki. The second verse that we study that connects to this energy is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, Udu, Mikol HaMachavoyia, Asher Yipabe Sham Weshavtem, Eli El Nahon, Wehalati Ten, Wehayim Yeshno, Raretz Vechipasti, O Tobakol Alfe Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo Laneta Yoved Roal Yom Ruayo. The year 5774, with the energy of peace in the Middle East, there is only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael undati v'shakan tafta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto. And now we will study a verse from the Zohar, from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29, that has this energy of certainty. Rabbi Abba Amar, Ika Matar, Anenam, Ikud Shabarifu, Bal Madi Aved. Vela witata kolaihu Kishot viovada Ikshot Veleidlach mila Bialma divae Barnash ledachya Leyaminea Ulanhagabeya Kalana dehakuhu Ovada dikshot inun v'kola yitzterich v'alma. We'll now scan and say the 72 names of God. The first row we will say, and the balance we will scan. Wahe
wahe
Aka ta ta. Please scan the balance of the rows. And the 72 names from the Sadiqim, the first row we will say, and the balance we will scan. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a me me be shi la yo he anu a ta me ta. Please scan the balance of the rows. The Sadiqim who left this Rosh Chodesh bet Rabbi Colonius Kalman ben Rabbi Aaron Halevi Epstein of Krakow, Rabbi Shlomo ben Rabbi Meir Nosen Halberstam, known as the first Babover Rebbe, and Rabbi Yisrael ben Rabbi Moshe Nahara, We also, on days when we won't be doing an evening class, list the tzaddikim from tonight and tomorrow, which is the second of Tammuz. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yechiel of Cologne, Rabbi Nachman Horan Denker ben Rabbi Yitzhak, and Rabbi Avraham Twersky, known as the Trisker Magid. And the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class continues our classes on Tuv La'aretz, Tuv Ha'aretz, the goodness of the land of Israel, a sefer, a book that was written about 400 to 500 years ago, and it reveals many, many secrets that are important for students of Kabbalah to learn. Today's class is class number 4, I believe. Just let me confirm that. Yes, it's class number 4. It continues chapter 2, starting with part 2-4, saying divine revelation. The handouts can be found on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 19. The right-hand column, it's the Tuv La'aretz landing plate page. Scroll to class 4. Since Israel was not able to conquer the land of the three nations, and we discussed that last week, how there were 10 nations in the land of Canaan, but the children of Israel were only given permission to conquer 7 of those nations. And the upper 3 were still there. The children of Israel are not fulfilled because the Shekhinah is not complete in its revelation until that future time. The time of Mashiach, the time of the conquering of all of the land. At that time that all of the children of Israel shall enter the land will be fulfilled in its true ultimate completion. Then the Shekhinah will be rectified, for the Shekhinah stands upon the 12 oxen. The 12 oxen are part of King Solomon's symbolic sea, which stood upon 12 oxen. The Zohar says that the Shekhinah rests upon these 12 oxen. These oxen really symbolize much loftier things, such as the Chayot HaKodesh, the holy animals, and other things. My commentary. The 12 oxen can also be the 12 sons of Jacob, or the 12 tribes of Israel. Continuing to read, by the Shekhinah dwelling in the midst of Eretz Israel, is rectified. When the Shekhinah dwells in the midst of the children of Israel, the land of Israel becomes rectified. Those 12 symbolize the rectification of the Chayot HaKodesh, which is a specific type of angel, which comprise 12 different facets corresponding to the 12 oxen. Then the divine throne shall be rectified, being that the Shekhinah is above it and the Chayot are below it. It itself is not complete, yet when it is completed, then Eretz Yisrael will be completely rectified. By the Shekhinah dwelling in the midst Eretz Yisrael is rectified by the presence of the Shekhinah. They, the 12 oxen, are bent down. The Shekhinah has not yet fully resided in Eretz Yisrael. Even in the times of Joshua, it wasn't complete, for 2.5 tribes were not in the land. That's why Eretz Yisrael is not complete. The reason is that the Shekhinah couldn't be complete is based upon the complaint of the moon about sharing the crown with the sun. As long as the light of the moon hasn't again reverted to the exact luminance of the sun, sharing one crown as it was at the time of creation, the Shekhinah will not reach its completion. This is similar to that which the Arizal writes in his commentary about the 7 aspects of Malchut, of Atzilut. Look there, and you shall find the depth of this concept at its very roots. This is the essence of the verse. Behold, this, the word Zeh, is Hashem. We hoped for him. In other words, at the time when all 12 tribes will have reached their completion in Eretz Yisrael, then Hashem's name will be complete. For the words Zeh, this, in the masculine, and Zot, this, in the feminine, go together. Zot is the Malchut that is taking grasp of the Yesod, which is called Zeh, as is known from the Zohar on Parashat Chukat. Zot, in its small numerical value, equals Zeh. Also, the hidden letters, Ne'elam of Zeh, spelled Zion He, with their milui is equal to the numerical value of the name Adonai. The milui of Zion is Yud, and it equals 10, and Nun, 50. The milui of He is He, which equals 5. Like the total of the latter, the numerical value of the name Adonai is equals 165. My commentary. There are many statements that one needs to understand how they are arrived at in this paragraph. The understanding that all children of Noah will eventually rectify to the point of becoming children of Israel, and one of the 12 tribes comes from the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov about you are who you hate. Until that happens, there cannot be a complete rectification of Israel or the land. When that happens, Zeh will become unified with Zot, and the milui of these spelled out names will have a gematria of 65, which will unify with the name of Hashem, Adonai. This is the end of chapter 2. Are there any questions?
I have a question for now.
Go ahead, Jasmine.
What is milui?
When you see a letter in the Torah, you see an aleph. There are letters that are concealed that spell the letter name. So in the case of aleph, you see the letter aleph, but what's concealed from you is a lamed and a pei, which is what spells the word name of the letter aleph. And this is true for every letter in the Torah. It's true for all of the 22 letters. The milui are those concealed letters that are not there for you to physically see, but are there spiritually, and are there to give you insights through their gematria and through their substitution, letter substitutions, and many other levels of Torah that's always there, but most people don't know it. And for those that study the Bible on its literal translation, on its literal meaning, they are missing out on these other levels. That's one of the secrets in this book, because he goes into the Milui many, many times. And it is good to know what that is and why it's there. And we've discussed this in our classes on the Aleph Bet.
So Milui can be infinite.
Is God infinite?
It could go infinite, because if you keep, you know, spelling...
I'm agreeing. Jasmine, I'm agreeing with you. I asked you a question.
Yeah.
Is God
yeah.
infinite?
Right.
Is the vessel to reveal the light of God, does it need to be infinite so that all of the light of God gets revealed?
Well, I guess so.
It's more than guessing. The vessel must become infinite in order to reveal the light of God that is infinite. And that's what the written Torah is about, and the oral Torah that enhances it. It's to help the vessels grow so they can become infinite. Now, that is a thought that takes a lot of contemplation.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Chapter 3, Part 1 is titled Effects of Earthly Conduct. The identity of our ministering angel is influenced by our actions. Now we shall discuss the main differences between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, being outside of the land of Israel, as well as the differences in the divine providence of the children of Israel and the rest of the nations. The concepts of proper prophecy, sorcery, repentance, or teshuvah, and converts will also be discussed. The concept of the headquarters of the external forces being above the firmament is rather confusing. For at times they are under the rule of the supernal realms. So too is the functioning of the body. At times we follow the will of our souls, yet sometimes we don't. This conduct is found in all of our lives, whether Jew or not, for that is a fundamental foundation from the time of creation. There is neither addition nor detraction from any of them. The only difference is that the children of Israel will fortify the ruling and power of the supernal holy forces. Thus they will become sanctified. As well, a person's spiritual stature is affected by the preparations of his parents before his conception. The more they sanctify themselves, the more the soul of their child will be enclosed by holiness after he is born. Yet the other nations of the world are enclosed with impurity. Yet in all other aspects, humans are the same. My commentary. The above paragraph is hinting to the difference between a person who is a child of Israel and a person who is not. That difference is the energy of Kedusha, or holiness. Holiness is difficult to perceive with the six physical senses. It is only when one has become sensitive to spiritual energy that one gets a limited perception of this energy of holiness. That is why a child of Israel is able to love a child who is not a child of Israel. If one is sensitive to perceiving spiritual energy, then one can only feel a certain sense of pity for the person who lacks this holiness. This is because holiness represents purification first, and then the Creator elevates that pure person to become holy. One who is not picked does not know that they are in lack. One who is picked learns to perceive others who have this lack and others who do not have this lack. This helps to explain why people behave the way they do, vis-a-vis the children of Israel and the children of Noah. If mankind improves its ways, then the forces of holiness will proliferate. The other nations of the world are under the dominion and power of the external forces. Hence they draw forth their life force from the spreading out of impurity, whereas the children of Israel draw forth their life force from the expansion of holiness. That is exactly like the ways of the rulership of the supernal holiness in its conducting the power of the external forces in the firmaments. Just as the action of man determined the quality of that conduct, so too man within himself determines for himself the quality of rulership of his being. If mankind improves its ways, then the power of the external forces are subjugated, and the forces of holiness will proliferate. Yet, if heaven forbid they destroy their ways, then the rule will be given over to the external forces. Same is with man himself. If he magnifies his own yetzer hara, his evil inclination, with defilement, then the power of the rule of himself will be given to the forces of the external forces. Yet if he were to magnify the aspect of holiness, which is his own holy nephesh and other parts, then the rule over him is entirely given to the forces of holiness, and he will become sanctified. My commentary. It is important for one to pray for help to expand holiness. It is the goal of the negative or external forces to try to limit the expansion of holiness. Understand this well. The conduct of Eretz Yisrael is the conduct of the Holy Ones and the prophets. Now imagine in your mind two concepts. The conduct of Eretz Yisrael is the conduct of the Holy Ones and the prophets, for they would purify their material selves and rectify all their senses and intellect in order to be sanctified. They would be in total control over all their attributes and would compel all their natural instincts to holiness. They rid themselves of all physical attributes. All that enabled them to control the cosmos and subjugate it to do their will. The conduct of Chutz La'aretz, being outside of Israel, is totally given over to the ministering angels of each country. The knowledge of accessing this from the force was the force of sorcerers, Khartoumim in Egypt, as well as the power of witchcraft, and any other power that involves subjugating the attributes of one's soul to them. This was the source of the power of Balaam and his students. My commentary. Moshe and Balaam are equal in power in the limited perceptions of physical senses. They each can reach the level of spiritual power, yet these two realms are not equal, since one has been chosen and called holy, and one has not been chosen. Learn this well. It is known that underneath these two are two other behaviors that resemble the above. First, one who lives in Eretz Yisrael and leaves it, meaning that he has left the rulership of holiness into the realm of the rule of the ministering angels. Thus, it is exactly the children of Israel who has subjugated himself to evil characteristics and has given over his spiritual powers to the will of the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. Thus, he who leaves Eretz Yisrael is as if he has given himself over to the rule of the power of the external forces. He has also given the cosmos over to the rulership of the forces of those ministering angels. The above applies to he who leaves Eretz Yisrael, not for the purpose of a mitzvah. Second, this is the opposite of the above. That is the convert, the Baal Teshuvah, the repentant, and others. In other words, they were on the outside, meaning they were under the rule of the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, yet they have divested themselves of that force and have subjugated their Yetzer Hara. And now they have entered into the realm of holiness and have drawn upon themselves the rulership of all supernal holy forces and have channeled all their attributes to holiness. My commentary. If you do not understand this, then formulate a question to ask. I will wait before moving on to section two. Remember, the description of leaving Israel is not speaking about the physical leaving. Yet the physical leaving is also describing this truth. The land vomits the unholy person out of the land. Are there any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Jasmine.
When the essay says Eretz Israel not for the purpose of mitzvah, what would be the mitzvah that applies you to leave Eretz Israel?
The mitzvah is to live in Eretz Israel. When someone who is born in the land of Israel decides that he has a better chance of making a physical living outside of Israel, that's leaving not for the sake of the mitzvah. But someone who is born in Eretz Yisrael, who is leaving Israel to go, I don't want to say the word proselytize, because that's not what we do. But there are rabbis, and there are teachers, and there are students of Kabbalah who travel around the world in order to attract, by displaying their revealed light outside of the land of Israel, they attract souls to follow the teachings of the Torah. And that is leaving Eretz Israel for the purpose of a mitzvah. But the confusion of all of this is that you are using these terms in the physical sense. There is a land of Israel in the Middle East. But the true meaning of the land of Israel is a consciousness that can take place anywhere in the world. The Chabad Rebbe, who passed away in the 90s, was asked this question, and he, why don't you move to Israel? Isn't that what the mitzvah is? And his answer was, if I left to go to Israel, what would draw those people who are already connected to the physicality of the exile from activating their pintaliyit, their spark of what it means to be a child of Israel? What would motivate them to grow spiritually? And so he sacrificed himself. His desire to be in closer to Hashem, or maybe he sacrificed nothing because he was Israel while he lived in Queens. It's confusing, but not really. And now that I have confused you, are there other questions?
It's very clear now.
I couldn't hear you. Say it again.
I understood. It's clear to me now.
And always remember the Kabbalistic adage. If you think you understand, you don't. And if you think you don't understand, that's the beginning of clarity.
And I say I'm beginning to understand then.
Chapter 3, Cuckoo Kabbalah, absolutely. Divine sustenance, which is part 2 of chapter 3. The other side plays favorites when on her own territory. It is befitting to mention to all those who delve into this wisdom that we shouldn't think to take literally the passage of the Zohar discussing the concept of the maidservant who inherits the place of her matron. For the sheer intense holiness of Hashem precludes that even in inner sanctum of the realm of Briah, that neither angel nor seraph, which is a type of angel, nor any creature can enter therein. Therefore, one should never entertain the concept of the maidservant actually taking the place of her matron. And I am adding, I hope that he will explain the metaphorical reasoning for this concept. While the Jews are in their land, there is an aspect of malchut. Rather, the true way to understand that passage is with the following introduction. The entire universe is run by supernal attributes, all of whom influence and draw influence Malchut. This is especially true when the Tiferet unites with Malchut. Subsequently, Malchut divides nourishment to the physical realm from that influence. She conducts and administrates the upper, lower, internal, and external worlds. Hence, while the children of Israel are in their land, there is an aspect of Malchut known as one Ofan, one lofty angel, was on the land, as was explained as the representation of Malchut being in the land of Asiya, to administrate the lower worlds. It is from that aspect that the children of Israel receive all of their divine influence. My commentary. One of the essences of Malchut is manifestation. When the children of Israel are in the land, there is a partial manifestation of the completeness of holiness and tikkun. Yet there is more to manifest, still starting with the spiritual levels and reaching the actions to do this in our physical world as well. Therefore, when the children of Israel had trampled the temple, They were running after the power of the external forces, who are led by their cursed mother, Lamed Lamed, to gain nourishment from her as her children, as is the mystery of the calves of Sukkot. These calves represent the nations of the world. The amount of the calves decreased each day, representing that their powers will diminish. This was done during the holiday of Sukkot, in which the world is judged for rain, as well as the determination of how much divine influence the ministering angels of each country will receive. And I am adding, the word calves represents the 70 bulls sacrificed during Sukkot. If you do not understand this paragraph, formulate a question. The mother is not able to sustain us in exile. Yet our mother, the Shekhinah, is not able to sustain us in exile, for the position of distributing the divine influence has been taken from her. In accordance to the state of the Shekhinah, not directly transferring the influence. Therefore, the Zohar describes the situation as the maidservant who inherits the place of her matron, meaning that she, Lamed Lamed, can divert the majority of the influence to her own children. A parable to describe the situation is as follows. The son of the king, while living in the king's palace, his nourishment and his sustenance were provided by his mother. The son of the king, while living in the king's palace, his mother provided him with all befitting necessities. Yet when the son became exceedingly rebellious, the king banished him from the palace. To be with her son, the mother went to exile as well. Yet throughout the exile, the king sent provisions to them through their hosts, the maidservant. Yet the maidservant channeled the best of the provisions for her own children, leaving the prince the leftovers. Yet the maidservant doesn't have the wisdom nor the sense to realize that the king sent those provisions to her only because of his son that is there. In the son's perspective, the maidservant is now the source of his sustenance. In this fashion, the maidservant has taken the place of the matron, for she provides for the king's son. She carries his meals to him from the king. Yet heaven forbid should we think that she actually enters the chambers of the king. Rather, the king has the food brought to one of his generals, who then gives it to one of his servants, who finally gives it to the maidservant. Nonetheless, being that the influence originated from the king's palace and goes to the maidservant, there is no greater disgrace for the queen. My commentary. Please realize that the reason a child of Israel becomes enamored with the physical pleasures and loses sight of the spiritual world is caused by the maidservant being the source of the sustenance. This is the result of our physical actions causing the Shekhinah going into exile. Part 3 of Chapter 3, The Land and the Covenant.
Can I make a comment?
Of course.
I've seen a lot of the children of Israel that were born there, that they left the land. And as I'd ask, you know, why? And they say, well, because I'm tired of being religious. I was born in a religious family, and I got tired of that. And I want to be happy. And I asked, weren't you happy when you were like that, when you were there with your family and all that? Yeah, I know, I wasn't happy because I was not able to do what I wanted to do, everything I wanted to do. And, well, it chucked me a little bit, but I don't know if this example has to do with just what you just have described here.
That the section is describing the flow of beneficence and how it gets divided up among the nations. And the Jewish people are in exile. They're no longer receiving that sustenance directly from the Shekhinah. It's going through the hands of the spiritual entities in control of the other nations. And they don't feed, they don't channel that to the children of Israel while in exile, like it would be if it was coming directly from the Shekhinah. It's like, and as a metaphor, you're a 6 or 7 year old toddler, or not a toddler, but a child, and your mother is working. Your mother's not home. And she left you in the care of a housekeeper. The housekeeper gives you snack when you get home. If your mother was home, that snack would be much more scrumptious. There's nothing wrong with the snack that the housekeeper gives you. It comes from the refrigerator. It comes from the stove. It comes from what she was told to give you. But it lacks. It lacks the love of your mother. That's just a metaphor to help you understand why people who have left, who were born in Israel and who have left, they are attracted by the physicality of what they perceive as freedom. But they don't really understand that it's a lack of freedom. And there is a significant difference between the word religiosity and spirituality. But it's something that must be experienced, that difference. It's not something that can be explained. It's not something that's intellectual. Ask them, are they spiritual people or are they religious people? And they will tell you they're spiritual. But ask them if they're attracted to physicality rather than spirituality, and their answer will be they're attracted to physicality. And that is because they're being fed by Lamed Lamed. They're being fed by the external forces. And this is the cause of their feeling satiated, because they don't truly understand what the land of Israel was capable of feeding them, of fulfilling in their desires. But eventually, it becomes clear that they will leave the exile and return to the land of Israel. And while you may not have met many of those people, I have seen it happen many, many times. I have seen children of Israel, born in Israel, come living 20 years in the exile, who've said it's time to go home. The Zohar says to any person born in Israel, who has left, when his thoughts return to home, to going back, it's time for him to leave. Because all of the sparks that he had to elevate outside of Israel have been elevated. I have seen many of them, many people born in Israel, now living in exile, who have started to study Kabbalah, who bring the consciousness of Israel into their lives in exile. And they no longer are being fed by the external sources. But that will be explained as we go further into this safer. And as you can see, there are many, many secrets and many descriptions and laws that are being presented here. I'm going to stop here because we only have a few minutes left. So we will pick this up in our next class next Sunday. Are there any questions? Classes this week. Today at 3 o'clock, West Coast time, we will continue our classes in Lashon Hara. And Monday at 4:30, we start the new class, the same class of studying the Zohar on a deeper level, the mini Zohar classes. We will change from the book of Bereshit that we have completed to the book of Noah. At 7 o'clock, we will continue our essay of the introduction to the Zohar by Rabbi Ashlag. Tuesday at 4:30, a mini Zohar class. At 7 o'clock, a Tikkuni Zohar class. Wednesday at 4:30, a mini Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, questions and answers. Thursday at 4:30, we will continue our advanced reincarnation classes. And at 7 o'clock, a Zohar class for the Parasha of Chukat. Next Saturday at 6 o'clock will be our Havdalah third meal. And at 7 o'clock, our Zohar class. I bid you all Kodesh Tov, a wonderful week, a wonderful month. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.